Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, November 12th, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free. Thanks to the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice, these tools are available on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that webpage and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it'll take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. The book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that specific chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet, and it's a tool I've been using for great effect for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click on it, download it, print it off, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one, where people have been stepped through that worksheet process and or given powerful testimonials about how the use of that worksheet process has greatly benefited their lives. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do that soon and often, because that frequently leads to comments or questions. And if you have any of those, give us a call and we can discuss them. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And if you call that number and press 1, it'll put a little question mark by your phone number. I can announce you by your area code and we can have a conversation. Alternatively, you can send an email. You can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. You can email Jeannie Rice at jeannie@whyagain.org. That's whyagain.org. And we hope you do that. We hope it's something you choose. It certainly helps us bring this show, this next hour or 2 hours that we have, into alignment with our intention. And our intention with this show is to be of service. So please, if you have any tips for us on how we can be of service, let us know. 563-999-3581. We're also doing the Course in Miracles workbook lessons this year. This is the 316th day of the year. And the Course in Miracles workbook lesson today simply reads, all gifts I give my brothers and sisters are also my own. The commentary reads, as every gift my brothers and sisters give is mine, so every gift I give belongs to me. Each one allows a past mistake to go and leave no shadow on the holy mind that the Creator loves. The Creator's grace has given me in every gift a brother or sister has received throughout all time and past all time as well. My treasure house is full and angels watch its open doors that no one gift is lost and only more are added. Let me come to where my treasures are and enter in where I am truly welcome and at home among the gifts that the Creator has given us. Creator, I would accept your gifts today. I do not recognize them, yet I trust you and that you who give them will provide the means by which I can observe them, behold them, see their worth, and cherish only them as what I want. The way the world is unfolding is the gift that I need to accept and cherish. Pam Grout, in her Course in Miracles Experiment book, Lesson 316, is titled Pam and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. She quotes U.S. Anderson as saying, refuse to accept apparent delay and detour as anything other than the perfect path. Pam writes, despite all rumors to the contrary, I still occasionally feel like unflavored gelatin. I recently had one of those days. I was in Grand Haven, Michigan, recording the audio version of my book, Living Big, at a fancy schmancy studio owned by Amazon. My flight was delayed, so I got in late. I had a headache, I had to show up bright and early, and the producer was quick to point out my glaring inability to pronounce such words as Dostoevsky and Joie de Vivre. Now I know good and well the only thing wrong in this situation was my attitude and my grumpy thoughts. But like a squid, I kept squirting out, woe is me, ink, that put up a smokescreen between me and my highest intention. My highest intention is that unceasing joy that we all have access to. Finally, after leaving the studio and being unable to even muster the energy to walk very far along the gorgeous Lake Michigan beaches, she writes in parentheses, I didn't even leave my normal beach affirmation, close parentheses. She says, I returned to my motel room and went to bed. I woke up the next day feeling bright and sunny and was even grateful for the horrible, terrible, no good, very bad day. And here is why. Point number one, that day made me achingly aware of how far I've come. Being disgruntled used to be my way of life. Going back for a little peek confirmed that's not that much fun. I don't want to live there. Point number two, I was able to be kind to myself in spite of it all. Okay, so I had a less than stellar day. So what? I used my magic words. What are they? Here they are. Quote, it's okay, close quotes. I used my magic words and shrugged it off as the perfect unfoldment and realization, see point one, that I'm on the right path and I've come a long, long way. Point number three. Lastly, I finally learned how to pronounce my favorite word, joie de vivre, a French word that pretty much describes my life now that I've officially broken up with the discontented grumpiness that used to be my every thought. So that's our Course in Miracles experiment and the Course in Miracles workbook lessons for today. And as usual, we've got about 50 minutes to entertain your comments or questions or pursue a topic that you would like to explore. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. How can I support you? How can we support you? We have more than just a few topics we might engage in. We've had pushing 11 years. It'll be 11 years in January. And we're sitting here halfway through November. So 10 and a half years of topics, books, worksheet processes, targeted journaling that Michael calls the Mind Shifter tool, questions about 3 early memories of conflict, questions about how to apply these tools in your life. What would be of service to you today? 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. I routinely have conversations with people who are very upset, and they think they are upset about the events in their lives or in the events in the lives of people they love. What we understand with this work is I'm not upset with or about the events in my life or the events in the lives of people I love. I'm upset because of the interpretation I'm choosing to apply to the life events as I see them, to the images that show up in my mind's eye. And once I wake up to the fact that I'm only, always, and forever the author of my emotions, and that any negative emotion I experience is a creation of the interpretation I've chosen in that moment, and I've been exposed to tools like the ones at whyagain.org, then I have the infinite capacity to choose again, to choose anew, and to have a life that unfolds entirely differently than, as Pam Grout was talking about in her book and her lesson today, than what I've been doing routinely for most of my young life. So if you've got a situation in your life right now that as it's unfolding, you're choosing an interpretation for it that is resulting in you having a negative emotional experience, I'll strongly encourage you to call a timeout for yourself, take one of those healing breaths that has you hold the breath at the top of the inhale, and slowly exhale, which for most people is an effective way to initiate the rest and digest response, or what some people call the parasympathetic response, and choose anew. Ask to understand how it is that you're creating the interpretation that's generating the emotion you're experiencing right now. And do it from the observation that since every situation is interpreted differently by different people, there's an entirely real chance that if you choose a slightly different interpretation, you will have a very different experience of the moment, even if nothing outside of you changes in that moment. I was working with a mother recently, and she's had life unfolding in a way that isn't what she wants. She has a son who is changing what he said he always wanted to do. And the mother is convinced that because of the way she's interpreting the life experience in the situation, she's convinced that this means he's turning out exactly like his father. And not the good parts of his father, the not-so-good parts of his father. And she's absolutely convinced that that's the case. And I pointed out to her, we've talked about the benefits of using a tool like the Gentle Art of Blessing that's written about as a book title and as a process by Pierre Pratervand. And and the difficulty that she's having with that right now is that as she looks at it, she's convinced that who and what her son is displaying is exactly like the not-so-good parts of his father. And I pointed out to her this one simple fact. I asked her to breathe, soften like we suggested. That was the first step. Take that breath, pause at the top of the inhale, slow the exhale down until it's 10 seconds or longer in the exhale. And then I just asked her to just observe this one fact. I'm just going to put one piece of evidence on the table in front of her to see if this helps her shift out of the fear-based perception and fear-generating conclusions that she's pouring her mind energy into. And I said, let me just remind you of one critical factor. Your ex-husband did not have you as a mother. And I had to remind her to breathe. But that's just one really good example of how once we hold on to a negative conclusion, we formulated a negative conclusion and we're holding on to it and pouring our mind energy into it, we miss important aspects of the actuality of our lives. And from there, it started to soften her perspective, and she started to realize, you know what? He spent a lot of years all through high school wanting to do this one career path, and then he met somebody in college, and now, just like that, lickety-split, he's changed his thought. Well, guess what? There's nothing that says he can't change his thought again in the next day, week, month, year, and either find a different path that will light him up and give him a sense of fulfillment and utilize his skills well, or return to the one that he'd always wanted. In the meantime, this mother, my patient, has the choice to make. What is she going to pour her mind energy into? And when she does that, what kind of emotional energy is she going to be generating that she then, because she can't help it, is going to be pouring into the energy field between her and her son? And that's what we're all faced with. We have the choice. Life unfolds as it unfolds. We get to choose how we interpret and respond to those events unfolding. As we choose an interpretation and a response, that's what creates our experience of life. And so, do you have a situation in your life right now that as you look at it and as it shows up in your mind, you're generating some negative emotional states from it, and or believing that outside experience is causing your negative emotional state? If that's so, we invite you to step into what we've learned in this work, what we can observe for ourselves directly on a regular basis. I am the author of my emotions. If you have an emotional state active in your mind, it's the result of how you're choosing to interpret and respond to life. It's not the result of the way life is unfolding around you. And once you become aware of the active role you're playing in creating your emotional state and how powerfully that shapes your experience of life, and if you've been introduced to tools like the ones at whyagain.org, all kinds of options unfold and open in front of you. And we're here to support you in exploring that, experiencing it, and developing a facility with, if not eventually a mastery of the tools that can help put you back in charge of the emotional state and the experience of life you're creating moment to moment. So, 563-999-3581. Call that number, press 1, let us know how we can support you. Is this making sense? Does this sound like a bunch of gibberish? Is there anything about this that is resonating as truthful for you or potentially useful for you and you don't yet know how to put it into effect in your life? Let us know. 563-999-3581. It is that shift in perspective that so dramatically changes our experience of life. And that's what we're here to assist people in creating. How can we help you create a shift in your perspective? A shift in the experience of your life? Whether it's through a suggested change in focus or whether it's the actual application of a reality management worksheet, that's what we're here for. How can we support you? I was amazed at the synchronicity again this morning. I was listening to some of the Pema Chodron book that we were talking about that I've been listening to for the past few days. And I believe the title of that book is When Things Fall Apart. I have several of her books, but it's from that book, When Things Fall Apart, that I heard again the story about the student warrior who was really enjoying the fact that the Buddhist tradition says do no harm. And in the middle of her enjoying that, she was told by her teacher that she had to do battle with fear. And she said, I don't want to do battle with anyone. And the teacher persisted, and eventually the student relented and prepared to do battle with fear. She went out on the battlefield, and fear was there. And she bowed very respectfully 3 times, which was impressive to fear. And fear said, well, thank you so much. And then she said, may I have permission to do battle with you? And fear again, very impressed, said, well, thank you for asking permission. And then the student warrior asked fear, how can I defeat you? And the response from fear was, well, here's the thing. My weapons are that I talk real fast and I get very close to your face. Then you get completely unnerved and you do whatever I say. So the thing is, if you don't do what I tell you, I have no power. You can listen to me. You can have respect for me. You can even be convinced by me. But if you don't do what I say, I have no power. And as the story goes, it was in that way that the student warrior learned how to defeat fear. Now, in the example of the mother that I was just talking about, she was being overwhelmed with fear. She was tearfully overwhelmed with fear in my office. And she was continuing to view her life situation and her son's life situation through the picture her mind was showing her as she developed all that fear. And she was starting to think about what she could do and should do through the filter of that fear. And it's very, very clear and easy to say she was doing what fear told her to do. She was crying, which is what fear told her to do. She was repeating the same helpless, hopeless, desperate thoughts over and over again. That's what fear was telling her to do. She was crafting whatever communications she would have with her son, driven by the perception she was creating in her mind when she was engulfed in that energy of fear. That's doing what fear tells you to do. And that was being very unproductive for her. She was feeling worse and worse by the minute. So I offered a slightly different perspective. That's all. Just here, put this actual observable fact into the field of view that you're using to generate all of these negative conclusions, and just breathe and soften and see what difference this might make. When that happens, she gets a different view, her perception shifts, and the fear that she was generating and then listening to also shifted. When the field of view shifts, the perception that shows up in her mind was completely different, and she was able to see whatever was going on without automatically generating the fear, and a range of new options appeared within her field of vision. This is almost exactly what we were discussing last night in the support group with somebody who is stuck in a situation, and every time they look at it, they keep looking at the same aspects of their current situation. And the point that we keep trying to make is, yes, this is true. Yes, what you're looking at is true. I'm not telling you you're hallucinating this, or that there isn't a problem here, or that that situation isn't happening. And yet, almost always, whenever I have a negative emotional state going, what I can know with certainty is that I'm not seeing all there is to see. And even if I'm seeing all there is to see, there's something amiss in the interpretation I've chosen to apply to those data points. So, time and again, this primary observation becomes, you know, more and more useful to me. That primary observation is written in every reality management worksheet, and it says, if I'm in pain, my thinking is in error. So if I end up with any kind of a negative emotional thought or negative emotional experience or a negative thought, I can know that if I ask to be shown a different way to look at this, if I soften and breathe and back up so that my field of view becomes broader and more clear, I will see options, possibilities, interpretations, potential moves that I didn't see when I was generating the negative emotional state. What we're offering is a set of tools and steps for ushering ourselves into a different perception. How can I perceive this moment differently? How can I acquire, some would call it a bird's eye view or the 30,000 foot perspective, or what Michael Rice might call the spiritual faculty of true perception? How can I acquire an access point of view that, or a point of view that gives me access to the Christ mind or the one mind that they talk about in the Christian Science work. There is only mind. There is only one mind. And in one of the Christian Science lectures I listened 2 years ago, it was a very well done lecture, and the woman talked about how she frequently gets questions from people, how can I know if the thought I'm thinking is accurate and true, or if it's just my fear and my ego and my errant thought? Lecturer gave a very nice description that boils down to this idea of, if I can trace the thought back to a God thought, one that would be, you know, coming from the Creator itself, then I'm probably okay sticking with it and acting from it. But if it's got a negative emotional state in it, that means it wouldn't be traceable to the Creator, to the one mind, because the Creator, the one mind, is about Creator. It's about light. It's about love, creation, the flow of life, extending, expanding, constantly creating and moving forward. And so if I have a negative thought, a negative emotion coming from my thought, I won't be able to trace it back to the mind of the Creator, to the one holy mind that all things are expanding from and existing within. Just another way to say what we talk about in this work: if I'm in pain, mental, emotional, or physical pain, my thoughts are in error. And when that happens, and I recognize it, and I decide not to wallow in it, but to make use of the awareness that, wow, I must be in error in thought, I can apply a tool like the Reality Management Worksheet. What does that do? Well, in the first three steps of that work, it has me map out what I'm doing with my thought, how I'm generating emotion with that thought, what my mind is telling me has to change in the world before I can be happy again or have peace. And I put that all out there. I get very clear about that, and then I choose to let it all go and cancel my certainty. And say, you know, like Course in Miracles in the course of, in the lesson, A New Beginning says, you know, maybe you don't want to say you're wrong, but at least you can acknowledge that you don't like how you're feeling. And once that happens, then you can ask, or you can make the statement, I hope there's another way for me to look at this situation, and then breathe and soften and see what unfolds. If I cancel everything I think I want, if I put away my trifling treasures, and I leave a clean and open space where my field of view can shift and broaden, chances are really good I'll start to see options. I'll start to experience emotional energies that I couldn't feel when I was holding on to my need to be right and what I thought was going on while I was generating the negative emotional experience. And that's the core of this work, right? I mean, I will probably remain forever grateful for discovering What's the thing I came with? Most of us have heard the phrase, oh, the tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. So when I start lying, I'm creating a mess for myself. Every time I tell a lie, I add to the complexity, and now I'm going to have to remember what lie I'm telling and all of the parts of my life and thoughts and experiences that I have to hide so that the lie isn't exposed. It just gets very complicated. And I've heard that, oh, the tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. I've heard that ever since I was a child. But then I got introduced to more and more research on perception and the idea that our perception is not a passive thing. It's very, very active, and we're all always creating the pictures that show up in our mind. We're all always interpreting the sound waves that reach our ears. And we're all always interpreting the physical sensations that get registered in our energy system when some kind of an energy reaches our nerve endings. And each of us is creating our own pictures, sensations, interpretations, meanings all day, every day. And there can be 17 of us in a room, and something can go on in one part of the room, and you can have 15 or 16 or 17 different interpretations about what happened and what it meant. So I've come to amend that saying, oh, the tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. And these days I say, oh, the tangled web we weave when first we practice to perceive. Every perception I create is just a rough guess, a guesstimate of what's actually happening. If you want more on this, you can watch the enlightening video by Anil Seth, A-N-I-L-S-E-T-H, on YouTube. If you type in his name, you'll probably get there, but if you add the word hallucinate or the hallucinate perception or perception, you'll have access to a series of talks. Any one of them is enough to watch. There's one that's about 17 to 19 minutes, if I remember correctly. That's a TED talk. But he's a scientist who's researching perception. And he's there to talk about how every one of us is hallucinating our perception. And what we call reality in our culture, in our world, is really just a consensus hallucination. When enough of us get together and agree on our hallucinations, we call it reality. Michael Rice in his work has a nice convention that helps clarify this, and it really helps when you're looking at The Course in Miracles where they aren't that clear about it. The difference between the actual world, actuality, and what we perceive, each of us creates our own reality through the process of perception. So, oh, the tangled web I weave when first I practice to perceive. Well, if my perception on a regular basis is wrong, how am I going to ever know what it takes to correct it? The good news is we've been given the mechanism. The mechanism is the awareness that if I'm generating a negative emotional state, the perception I've chosen is inaccurate. And if I'm generating a negative emotional state, if I can wake up enough from the hallucination and the cultural conditioning to understand that's not being done to me. This mother and son combination I was referring to earlier, they are not, that son is not doing something to his mother to generate her sadness. And if she can wake up to realize that, then she can step into the use of tools to dismantle her sadness and fear and free up her perception of what's happening with her son so she has a chance to actually be available to send him loving energy and to be a positive influence in his life moving forward, regardless of what he chooses. But if she comes from the belief that he's causing her deep sadness because he's changed his life goals or because he's not as connected to the family system or not as committed to the goal that he had for his life when he was in high school. If she's convinced that that's causing her sadness, then she's a hopeless, helpless victim. And there's nothing for her to do. The good news is, one of Michael Rice's favorite quotes from the early years was, there are no victims, only volunteers. And so if this mother wakes up and realizes that she is generating a significant amount of negative emotion and that she doesn't like the feeling of sitting in that sadness or that fear, then she can apply the tools and shift her perception. She can move herself closer to what Michael Rice would call the spiritual faculty of true perception, which is this ability to see the world as it actually is, to see everything in the world as neutral. All events are neutral. Many great spiritual traditions teach us this. And that every time we generate a negative emotional state because of how we're choosing to interpret and respond to the world, it distorts our view. It limits what we're able to see. And it keeps us stuck in an unproductive pattern that dramatically decreases the probability that we will be able to do something to free ourselves, to have the liberty to act in a healthy, loving, respectful, compassionate way. And most of the people that are drawn to work like this want to be able to choose a healthy, loving, compassionate, productive way to respond to life. So, our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Let us hear from you. What's on your mind? How is this talk today landing? What's it resonating for you? What might you have a fear or an upset about that if we discussed it a little bit or helped you see a slightly different aspect of your life or a shift in perspective, it might benefit you. 563-999-3581. Call that number, press 1, we can have a conversation. Alternatively, you can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, and we'll do our best to address your comments or questions on the show. And if you're not able to catch it live, you can listen to it in the archives. I know I haven't talked about this in a while, but those archives are a very useful resource for me. And because it's been pushing 11 years now, it really isn't feasible for me to go back and scan through the archives. They aren't all labeled well, etc. But one of the many things Jeannie Rice has done is curate out certain what we would call highlight shows and list them as best of shows or highlight shows. And you can find those by going to whyagain.org and click on the link that says Start Here. And on that next page, as you scroll down, you'll see something that talks about a list of MP3s. And that list of MP3s is the curated shows. That's a great place to start after you've... It says special MP3s pulled from shows with instructions, testimonials, and support on the wake-up sheets. So for some people, that's where they go first. The recommendation for a long time now has been download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book and or the worksheet process itself. And the next step that most people find very useful is listening to some of these special MP3s pulled from the Mindshifters radio show where people have been stepped through the process. And there are quite a few of those shows that are actually just a recording of somebody being stepped through the use of the worksheet process. Some of them are about testimonials, but it is an incredibly powerful resource, even for me. I have benefited greatly by going back and listening to shows. Sometimes I'll get the podcast up on my phone and click the phone into the rack on my bike and ride and listen when I'm not obsessed with the bird sounds and the nature sounds. It's a very useful tool. Some of the, as I say in the introduction to most of these shows lately, the tools that are available at whyagain.org are some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered in my over 47 years of doing therapy. And that's pretty amazing to me. I've actually gotten into some temporary fantasy hot water with people because I've talked about how I think it's kind of goofy that we are giving this away absolutely free. The quality, the power, the effectiveness, and the accessibility of these tools is the kind of thing that many other teachers, seminars, workshops, websites are charging not just hundreds, but thousands of dollars for. The coaching, the tutorials, the worksheets themselves, the hours of recordings of people discussing how to use these in their lives, absolutely free. And that's kind of goofy because we're living in a society where you have to get paid so that you can, you know, fulfill your financial obligations to the mortgage or the landlord and heating bills and cell phone usage, and we're giving this away absolutely free, which some people say diminishes the value. And I like to correct them rather quickly and say, no, please, let's wake up, let's be careful with the words. I can't diminish the value of something that actually has value. I can diminish my perception of its value. I can change how it is perceived within me, but I can't touch the value of something. Something that has true value has that inherently. These tools may not be for everybody. There are people who may not like the fact. As a matter of fact, one of the more common reasons I've heard from people, very bright people, very well-intentioned people, when they say this isn't for me, they'll say the worksheet is too intellectual for me. And I just interpret that as to say it doesn't fit their style, but it's certainly not too intellectual, because what the worksheet says is put all that intellectual stuff on the page in the first three steps, and then cancel it all and step into an energetic, emotional, intuitive, creative flow and watch how your life changes. So it's definitely not about figuring things out. It's definitely not about using your conscious logical mind. The core of this work is understood as needing to shift my perception whenever I use that perception, or that perception gets used by my automatic processes to generate any negative emotion and any negative thought pattern. So it's kind of goofy, but we're doing it anyway. We're giving it away for free, the very kinds of things that many, many other people will charge you thousands of dollars for, at least hundreds per session or episode. And they're available absolutely free, and they're available through the archive, and you can access them in the middle of the night when you wake up. You can have it going when you're playing your, you know, board games with friends. You can do it while you're, have it in the background while you're doing dishes. You're on a bike ride. You're doing your indoor exercising in the winter. I highly recommend tapping into some of those highlight shows that have been curated out by Jeannie Rice on the Why Again website. Click on the Start Here link and scroll down and get access to those MP3 files. And then if you do, give us a call. Let us know how the use of the tools and the archives is benefiting you. And who knows? That conversation itself might end up as a highlight show. Every time that happens, it benefits the caller, and it also benefits anybody else who's listening or anybody else who stumbles across it in the archives. But that's our goal. Our goal is to help every one of us who ends up generating a negative emotion or recurring negative thought to help us shift our process and our perception so that we're restored to what Michael Rice would call true perception. We're restored to a less distorted view of the actuality of our lives. You are the miracle of life, the miracle of the creative energy expressing in form. You, right now, today, as you listen to this. And everything that your mind wants to tell you about how you're not tall enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not worth enough, is an error. And all of the awe that you might experience when you look at the Grand Canyon or you see an amazing sunrise or sunset, all of that is your essence, and your essence is every bit as magnificent as anything you've ever seen out in nature, or you've watched somebody else do or create in art, or you've seen in kittens or puppies playing. Your essence is that and more. It's what can't ever be added unto or taken away from. It is what in the ancient Aramaic they might refer to as original blessing, the opposite of what some of the Catholic teachings would say as original sin. But the original blessing is that which cannot be chipped, dented, rusted, faded, or broken in any way, and that is at the core of your existence. That is the truth of your awareness, some would call it soul. I was listening to a podcast this morning from a young woman, Psychiatria is a podcast, and there's a free-range psychiatry that is a website, and these are some psychiatrist professionals who've decided to treat mental health issues with a holistic or a functional or an integrative approach. And that I lost my train of thought. And that podcast has been started by a young woman who works with these psychiatrists to build this practice. And she's young, she's creative, she's got a good speaking voice, and she wants to increase awareness for alternatives to treatment of psychiatric and psychological problems, alternatives to the conventional model. And the conventional model these days is, here's a list of symptoms, I'm going to check these, and you've got those, and so I'm going to give you this medication. And so this is exactly the same fundamental purpose as the Journey's Dream not-for-profit that I'm on the board of and that I have been doing the On Your Mind podcast for. So if you want some ideas about how to help somebody who's going through a psychotic episode or a depression or an anxiety issue, or they've been labeled schizophrenic, or they've been labeled manic depressive, or they've been on these psychotropic medications and they're still anxious and depressed and they've gained a lot of weight and they're having trouble getting off of them. There's a whole, I think we've got 79 published podcasts on the On Your Mind podcast hosted by Journey's Dream. So if you go to journeysdream.org/podcast, that's another wonderful free resource. And we've interviewed integrative psychiatrists. We've interviewed people who've had their own lived experience with being diagnosed and giving meds, having been given meds that they didn't want, being hospitalized against their will, et cetera. And that's another wonderful free resource, On Your Mind podcast, hosted by Journey's Dream. If you go to journeysdream.org/podcast, you can get access to the list of shows and make use of that. So we've reached the end of our hour. I believe Michelle is here, so I will just remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Michelle.
Yes. Okay.
Come in, Michelle. You're unmuted. You're on.
No, you're good.
We can hear you. So I will mute you and then unmute you to maybe get your attention. Welcome, Michelle.
Oh, was I talking? I'm sorry.
You were on.
I was getting ready and I didn't realize that you could hear me. My apologies. Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm well. Are you hosting this next hour?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, have a lovely show and take it away.
All right. Thank you. Hi, everybody. Happy Friday. Today is November 12th, 2021. I'm Michelle Pesce, filling in for Jeannie, and I'm here today with Dr. Michael Rice. So thanks for choosing to spend some time with us. The call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you press 1, it'll put you into queue to talk with. We encourage you to call in with comments or questions, allowing you to strengthen your practice of forgiveness. So we will be waiting for Michael and start the second half of the show. I haven't co-hosted in a while, and so I thought I would check in with everybody and Michael and see how things are going. I know I get some newsletters that let me know that there's the Mind Shifter and breath session work that they've been doing online, and wondering kind of how that's been going. And I don't know if anybody has participated in that opportunity. I'm sure he'll be here shortly. Let's see. Oh, there he is. Hi, Michael. Michael, is the mute on, maybe?
Oh, I'm talking into the mute. Yes, I was asking how you were doing and explaining. I had to dial back in twice. It didn't want to let me in. So, welcome. How do you be? How are things
Hi.
In Mexico?
Oh, really good. I came here with two house-sit jobs, and I earned myself two more. So I'm leaving December 1st after 73 days of house-sitting, and which is just really a nice opportunity to see different cities and different villages and not have to pay for any housing.
Sweet. And are you learning to speak
mm-hmm.
Spanish?
I am really good at using Google Translator and holding my phone up to cab driver's ear so they can know where I want to go and what I want to happen. And so, unfortunately,
Sweet.
Technology isn't forcing me to take that on. However, I mean, I do notice that I am picking up words. And it's funny because I'll be at the grocery or whatever and something will slip up and I'll say Quanto. And I'm like, how do they know that means, like, you know, these things? So I think it's one of those osmosis.
Right. Isn't when you really look at language, I don't know if you were on any of the shows where I talked about back several years ago, we did six or seven different countries. And by our third country, we had done, where were we? We were in Sweden. We were in Italy. We were in Portugal. And by the third country, the whole concept of Babel really clicked for me because, you know, somebody makes up words, makes up sounds, calls them words, and other people agree, and now you have a language. And the Aramaic language, interestingly enough, is the only language that's actually based in the physics of the world. If you look at the Aramaic letters, they're actually 3D shadows of the atomic periodic table of the elements. And so it's actually based in the creation, but everything else, somebody made up blew some wind over the voice box and called it a word. And now we think we have words and we have all sorts of things we can communicate or not communicate to each other about in our babble. And to me, that was sort of something that cemented on a new level the reason why the Aramaic concepts were so powerful and that they've survived. You know, it is a surviving language. It is still alive, but it's not commonly used, but it's the language of at least five of the world's major religions. So it's survived,
mm-hmm.
or at least its conceptual framework has survived in that sense, and I think that's part of the reason why. So we're babbling right now in a thing called English, but
I have a new client who is proficient in sign language and is getting certified as an interpreter, and I was asking her a lot of questions about it since it was, you know, interesting opportunity to really understand that better. One of the things
right.
that she told me reminded me of something that you had said in terms of idioms, because what they have to do is basically break the speaker's language down and then give the key concepts. So then let's say somebody,
right.
and this idea came to me, like I'll say, like, I was giving someone a worksheet the other day, and there's the Julie Haverstick worksheet, or there's the worksheet that I learned from that has more of the definitions. And so in terms of deciding to her, suggest to her which one I wanted her to use, I said, I think you should use the one with the definitions because that's the one I cut my teeth on. And then I'm like, cut my teeth on? Really? Because what the hell does that mean? If you were going to literally translate it. And it made me think of this girl. And so the conversation about Babel is all part of that.
Right.
So then you just see someone like, okay, they're sawing your tooth off. Like, why would you cut your tooth?
Well, and when you realize that a child has a teething ring and they're cutting teeth and we're, you know, stepping into language, it's kind of fits. In fact, it's an interesting, there's a particular passage in the scriptures, which I talk about fairly often, where there are a bunch of disciples, far more than the 12 that people think about, and they asked collectively, Yeshua, the question, what do we need to do to please the Creator? And he gives them an answer, and his answer is an idiom, and they don't quite get it, so they ask again, and the idiom is actually, he said, eat my body and drink my blood, which, you know, in our culture, we take that as, you know, our Babel says, well, that's just wine and wafers. But half of the disciples that were there or more got up, said too hard a saying, and turned around and left and never came back. So obviously when he said, eat my body and drink my blood, he wasn't talking about communion as we think of it today. But in Aramaic, it's an idiom that says, you know, you've got to inculcate, you've got to incarnate, you've got to understand everything that I'm talking about in living this true life out of being. You know, he said earlier, I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly. You've got to know what it is to live life and who you are and what you are. And they just said, too hard a saying. And it's interesting, and I don't know whether this differentiation exists in the Aramaic. I haven't gone back to look at it. But in the Greek, he actually repeats himself. And the first time, according to the Greeks, and it became a big discussion because the Greeks not understanding the idiom, you know, a deeper explanation of the idiom is, you know, imagine that I'm the best cabinet maker in the world. I make the most fabulous cabinets that exist on planet Earth. Everybody on the planet agrees. And you come to me and say, Michael, I want to learn to make cabinets like you. If I were Aramaic, I'd say you have to eat my body and drink my blood. You have to know everything I know about making cabinets and, you know, and coloring and dowels and cutting wood and types of, you're going to have to do that. But the Greeks translated it as eat, as in sitting down to eat a meal in the first passage. Then the second time, the Greeks, and this is a discussion, if you do some Googling, you'll see it was a discussion in the Greek translations. The second time, the Greeks used a word that would be more like gnawing on a bone. Rather than just sitting down to eat, you know, the second time they come around to it, the word that the Greeks offer is, you know, you're going to have to be like a dog, and you're going to have to really gnaw on this. And it's so accurate when you understand the idiom because, you know, look how much gnawing over the years that you and I have done since you became involved. And I continue to gnaw on this every day to really get to the meaning of what is it to live truly as a human being made of the stuff called love and rid yourself of everything that is unlike love. What does that mean in a culture that's so steeped in, you know, just, you know, the simple language of hostility and fear and grief and rage and gossip and slander and condemnation and vengeance and separation and hatred. And I mean, there's just so much of that insanity that's in the language that we're given from our birth. In the physiology, they've done some research where they do microphotography of children's body movements, babies' body movements, and they found that each time they say a particular word, the micro movement of the body will be exact and precise every time. So the thesis comes out that, well, the language, the frequencies of the words we're going to use, are built right into physiology. They're that deeply instilled. And we're going to have to gnaw our way out of the insane mind into truly recognizing what it is to function as love, to really, truly be the created essence that we are as love. So it kind of ties in with this whole idea, and I think takes it to another level, and why, you know, we need to gnaw on this understanding in order to really incorporate it and live it.
I understand that. I've looked at the calendar and just calculated that I'm at 8.5 years. And as you pointed out before, it's between 5 and 10. And
right.
Yesterday in particular, I felt like something had shifted, because it was almost like the brain cells are so well developed after counseling. I mean, I do my own work for sure, but it's reinforced in my employment, you know, between 30 and 40 hours a week for 8.5 years. And so
yep.
My brain's saturated, and it's almost like when I'm talking and supporting people and identifying their goals or helping them to do that, and almost like it's like channeling out of me, and then people want to write it down, and they ask me to repeat it, and I'm like not really sure what I said.
That was
but
so long
it was
ago,
spot
I couldn't
on
repeat it. I know that one.
I feel this part of it about being able to support people and teach them and see their excitement when they have breakthroughs or where they're able to drop some aberrant energy. And then that allows me more directly to know myself as love. And it kind of just compounds and builds. And I've got people around me who support me. There was a time recently where, because I'm in Mexico, I found out that Elizabeth
right.
been driving my car to Grand Rapids like multiple times a week. I bought this brand new car this year, and it's got like 20,000 miles on it, and I haven't been home. Like, come on. And so I'm texting her my anger, and she texts back to me, "I cancel my goal for my daughter to respect my things." And I'm like, okay, you know what you mean? It's just a whole thing. Can't even have a, you know, a minute of anger because I've got people set up to check me. And it was, you know, I mean, yeah. I just laughed at that. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? I said, take a photograph of that odometer. I'm going to start charging you by the miles. And she agreed to that. I kept back aligned with love. I still need to take care of myself and advocate for, you know,
right.
respecting my things, and this is how we're going to do it. And so it was just a great example for me thinking like, wow, if this had gone unchecked for all these years, I would not be the mom that I am.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I hear you. Well, Richard Bach, you know, offers the thought that we teach best that which we most need to learn, and here we are doing it. And I'll say that for myself personally, you know, if I look at 50 years of doing and developing this work, I have done, you know, when we did 2 back-to-back codependence intensives, Jeannie and I, and it really spurred us both to take our work to a new level. You know, just doing them back-to-back like that was really pretty intense. And I recognize that in the last probably 18 months, maybe 24 months, I've done some of the deepest, most important work I've done in 50 years. If I weren't here 50 years later still doing it, I'd have never gotten and never done those pieces of work. And it's a progressive opening, you know, when we realize that this body-mind unit, this multi-generational database, literally contains every thought, every feeling, every perception, every construct of every mind in our bloodline back to infinity. It's a pretty giant project to say, okay, I'm going to take that all apart. I'm going to learn to decode and feel and be with everything that's in there and throw the stuff away that doesn't support me functioning as love. That's a pretty big project.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it takes the community, as you just said, you know, your daughter's part of your support community that reminds you. And, you know, that's the whole idea of this radio show of developing community and having support. So if people don't have a place to be in the conversation, they can do it every day, at least for an hour, and or go back and do archives so that life becomes a process of building brain cells for functioning differently than, you know, what we were all taught right from the womb to do. And to give up the response that those disciples gave to Yeshua of too hard a saying, I'm not going to go there. But you just keep chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, and profound, pretty powerful.
Yeah, I feel so effective as a therapist because of these tools. It's something I don't think I could have ever imagined being able to access to truly heal people, not just treat their symptoms. And people who've had previous therapists, and then they come to me, one of the best compliments I ever got recently, this girl's like, oh, my God, I want my money back for all the therapists, all the co-pays that I've paid over the last 15 years, because I have learned more in one session than all the other times I've been in therapy. And I was, like, blown away. And then I realized, you know, that that's probably accurate, because the other therapists, not that they probably haven't done their work, they haven't accessed what healing is truly about. They just learn how to manage anger, you know? Like, come on, there's classes on that. Like, why would you want to? Let's heal the crap that's underneath there, grief, the guilt, the shame, the worry, the disappointment, the jealousy, and let's get back to love and realign with, you know, being the true nature of who you are. And yeah, it's very powerful, very powerful.
Yeah, I love how Tim talks about it and how he's spoken about, you know, as a clinical therapist, over four decades in practice. And he talks about different exciting therapy results that he's heard different therapists getting and gone to study with them and get there, you know, to get to be able to do what they do. And he shared more than once, actually. And it's like, but nobody else can work what they're doing. I mean, they tell us what they do, but it's not transferable. It's not set out as a set of principles. And he offered that, you know, with this work, he can hand it to anybody, and they'll produce the same results he does. All they have to do is follow the formula, follow the tools. And, you know, I feel blessed that my early work was in the field of electronics. And in that field, you know, if you built a piece of equipment, electronic equipment, or repaired it, or, you know, what have you, when it came off the bench, it really didn't matter what your philosophy was. The darn thing had to work. And so for me, it's been, okay, so how do we get this down to something that's transferable so that anybody can use it? And, you know, when I go back and I get another level of understanding of the root that it comes from, which is out of the mouth of Yeshua in Aramaic, it's like mind-boggling that this level of understanding was on the planet 2,000 years ago, and who knows what we still don't know about what he taught. But we sure have a handful here by having the, especially the forgiveness tool. It's like, wow. So I'm certainly filled with appreciation at the moment.
Mm-hmm. No, it's quite a blessing. Well,
thank you for passing it on to others. That's, you know, if each one teaches one, then the multiplier effect means it's going to scramble throughout the culture more and more quickly.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. People will mention from time to time, oh, I shared this worksheet with my, you know, coworker or my sister-in-law, or, you know, oh, this mind shifter idea I gave to my, you know, cousin. And it always, like, a little smile, like, yep, just, you know, they pass it on and it heals something, or they teach their kids, like, you know, the Order of the Healing Children book, and they start doing worksheets with their children. A lot of moms making choices to homeschool. I'm sort of seeing a pattern of that because the education and the mandates and the things that are going on are not comfortable for them. So rather than compromise their principles, they're bringing their kids home to teach them. And usually these parents have, I think, a higher level of conscious awareness. And so when I present the ideas about using the worksheets for the kids, and that's been adopted, and they love it. And then, you know, you also resonate people who are ready, I think, for the work, you know.
Right.
They self-select out. If not, one-time wonder. I wonder where they went. But they weren't ready to hear it. This, I got a call from my office yesterday, and my admin said, Michelle, there's this client that you used to see 2 years ago, and she switched over to Jackie, which was another therapist. And sometimes that happens. People will say, like, I'm not feeling it. Can I get a different therapist? And, you know, I'll do a worksheet on rejection and then let them be. But this one lady, it always comes back in the mind, because I knew the moment that I turned her off is because we were talking about, she was bringing up some stuff about her dad, and she was being real victim-oriented about it. And so then I kind of gently rerouted her to taking more responsibility, and I could just see the way her face turned, and that was our last session. And that was 2 years ago. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And so my admin says, Michelle, this girl wants to come back. She's been with Jackie for a while, but she likes your style better. Started to laugh because I'm like, of course I'll take her back. Of course I will.
But ready to go for it.
She's more ready to hear it. Yeah. And I was like, wow, Michael's talked about that before, where people go away for 10 years and then they come back. I'm like, well.
Exactly.
That's cool. Yes, I'm ready for her.
Have you seen the movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood?
Oh yeah, I saw that when
it's
it
a story
came
of
out,
Tom
sure.
Tom Hanks' place. So to me, that movie is the epitome, and I would love to have spent time with him as a human being, just because of the results he produced. But you know, the movie really isn't about him. It was written. The story of it was written by the writer, and it was about his experience with Mr. Rogers. But you know, the epitome of that, or the picture to me of that movie, is here's this guy, and his basic message is, don't make me look. You know, that one scene where they're sitting in the office and they've got an appointment, and because he pushes the guy, he just gets up and leaves. It's like, don't make me look in my life. And you know, when truth shows up, most people live in blockage of truth, and when truth shows up, their stress goes up. And you know, that stress is going to be attached to one of two things. It's going to be attached to you as the one who presents the truth that raises the stress level in the mind, or it's going to, you know, in getting rid of that, or it's going to attach to self-correction. Here, my stress level's up. I have an opportunity to do some healing here. And for most people, it's attached to whoever's out there, and that's why, you know, that's why we've got the divorce rate in the country that we have. That's why we have the murder rate. That's why we have the wars that we have. I mean, it's all, if only stress were understood and forgiveness were applied, the whole global culture would change overnight. But you know, I mean, how many people do you hear saying, oh, yeah, the stress at work. Excuse me, there's no stress at work. There's zero stress at work. All there is work. If I take a mind in that gets loaded with goals, each time I set a goal, I create a stress, then I'm creating my stress, and I could reduce. Now, there might be workplaces that are not a place that anybody would want to work, but still the person sitting there, it's the goals they hold that create the stress they experience. And few people want to be responsible for that until they understand the benefits.
Yeah, I understand that one. You know, I am a certified advanced alcohol and drug counselor. So a lot of my people have a background with AA, which is, I find, is really helpful in the sense that they are able to use that foundation to kind of springboard to the forgiveness work. Like, they sort of understand some basic principles. The difference between 12 steps and forgiveness work is there aren't really any specific tools. Like, good ideas, I understand that I need to be responsible or make amends or the different elements or bringing in God into it, right? I mean, you can almost take a 12 steps and match it up to a worksheet. But there's no, like, real way to practically apply it. And it's more like treating symptoms, not actually doing the healing work that creates those symptoms.
I hear you. It's definitely time for healing.
Yeah, there's lots of opportunities for sure. And, you know, there's just so many challenges out there. I've got my personal record with the number of clients that I've ever seen in a week. And so people are like, why are you working so hard? Like that's too much. I agree it's too much. And there's so many hurting people out there. It's really, it's very challenging for people. They never have been put to the test in the way that our world crisis, I'm going to say, is forcing people to have to deal with stuff. We have a
sure.
wait list in our office, and there's, you know, over 20 therapists. Really, just a lot of, I guess I'm going to say it's ascension, because all these things need to come up to break through as part of, like, raising the consciousness, raising the vibration, raising humanity.
Yeah, and there's certainly a lot of suffering going on, and if only the person who's suffering, you know, traumatic events, well, they happen. But pain, when you realize that pain is something we bring to the event, is optional. And most people don't know it's optional. It's just, it's so keyed in from the generations into the automatic decision system. It's like, oh, well, I have a choice about this. Well, if you learn to choose, instead of live in decisions, you would. But, and you know, the conversation, actually, I'm going to shift into reading a little bit from the chapter 20 in Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And the title of this chapter is Waking from the Has-Been. And I've been talking to Richard about, he's, you know, he had taken on a message from his father that he was stupid, and he's realizing, he asked me the question, oh man, I'm going to get rid of this, but is that what's meant by the casting out of demons? It's like, yeah, that's what was meant. Thought disorders are, you know, in the ancient times, they called them demons, and people were seen to be possessed by them. And you look at somebody who's totally, you know, nose to the grindstone of their pain and their trauma and their suffering, and yeah, they're locked into demon possession. And that's just thought disorders, energetic patterns that never belonged in a human being. And the whole idea of being possessed is, yes, if we're run by the automatic decision system, keyed to rage and fear and guilt and grief and self-deprecation. And as Richard in this particular passage was talking about, as he uncovers that, it's, you know, I'm going to get rid of this. And then he all of a sudden is like, oh, is that what the casting out of demons was, when you remove something from the home, the has-been, the mind from the past? And I offered him exactly. Our disintegrative inner thought complexes are our demons. I'm seeing that, Michael, he says. A whole complex of being stupid, thoughts and feelings just surfaced me. It felt overwhelming and confusing when that happened, but somehow it was different from when it happened in the past. Whenever that occurred before, I would get lost in the feelings and buy into being powerless. Just now, I can see that I stayed conscious and processed. I think that's what you called it. Through those thoughts and feelings, without getting lost in that my stupid pattern. That feels like such a great relief. And the key thought at this point, we're on page 145 for anybody that's following along with us, when we lay claim to the quote-unquote evil in ourselves, it can be forgiven. We then no longer need to fear its occurring outside of our control. So I acknowledge him. Nice work, Richard. Yes, this is process, and I think you just worked through one of your demons, or what are sometimes called dragons, and in some circles, Klingons. And, you know, in the app, we've got the dragon Klingon game. And, you know, you go back to the Star Wars where they had the Klingons, and, you know, it's a metaphor for the things that people hold on to and like, oh, I couldn't let go of this. This is my identity. And, you know, if it's not based in love, it's not anybody's identity, although it can become the false identity that we get lost into. And you go back 2,000 years ago, and Yeshua recognized that, and he said, in order for you, the truth of who you are, who are dragging on your old patterns and clinging on to your insanity, in order for you to live, you've got to die. The self, the false created, generated self of the mind that does that has to be removed, has to go. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people run away, because they see that, oh my God, I'm going to lose myself. But to lose a self based in drama and trauma is a wonderful thing, although it can be experienced as, until one grounds themselves in truth and who they are, it can seem like a major loss. So that's our conversation with Richard today. I was just saying yesterday, I don't know if you've been listening to the show lately, but this is the second time I've read the book since I wrote it 26 years ago. And I'm impressed. I'm enjoying reading it again. There's so many things there. It's like, oh, I didn't know I knew that then. I didn't know I understood that. Oh, God,
right.
That's so well explained. So... Fun to do.
You know, one thing I was kind of curious about was how the mind shifter and breath session is translating to the online experience.
You know, we did the mind shifters and stop breathing and the two intensives that we did, and it worked very well. So we decided to do one more mind shifters and still point breathing workshop. We did that about, 7 or 8 weeks ago. And I have never, in over 40 years of doing still point breathing with people, I have never seen a whole group go into still point at the same time. In that workshop, every person went into still point at the same time. And there was so much energy moving that I actually turned the workshop over to Jeannie for a little while. And I came in and did my own still point breathing process, my own breathing, you know, just left it to her to support people for, you know, probably a half an hour or so of that workshop. So it was powerful. And as a result of that, we've actually set it up so that we are doing the second Saturday of each month, so day after tomorrow, we'll be doing a still point breathing workshop. And we've set that up so that we're doing one every month, the second Saturday of the month at 10 o'clock Eastern time in the morning. And then on Wednesday following that, we're doing concession where we're doing questions and answers and process work and that sort of thing. So we've got a one-year program set up out of that as a result of the way that came together. So it's translating really well, and it's delightful. And if you would like, I don't know if you have the space, I don't know what your time frame is there, but if you have the space on Saturday morning and you'd like to be our guest in it, I'd be delighted to send you the links. And actually, we're doing a new thing as well. We've been talking about it the last couple of days. Saturday.
You said Saturday. Oh, that's tomorrow.
I was thinking today was Thursday. Okay, yeah, it is Friday, isn't it? You're right.
Okay.
So anyway, if you have the space tomorrow, 10 o'clock Eastern time, and we've got a small group, so it'll probably be over by 1 or 2 o'clock if you'd like to join us. We'll send you the link and Zoom, and we'll send you the new – one of the other things that we're doing out of it is I've created for this one-year period what I call an ever-expanding mind shifter tool.
Okay.
And
it sounds like a never
you'll remember
everlasting concept.
Say it again.
In Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, he invented a special candy for poor children. It's called the Everlasting Gobstopper. And you could suck it and suck it and suck it and would never smaller. So I'm like, what is
now that's cool.
Everlasting mind shifter?
Well, ever expanding. And so you'll remember that in the intensives, we hand out a sheet, and it has three sets of mind shifters, section one, section two, section three. And each list has 13 mind shifters in it. So that's what we invite people to select from. So for this month, we've created a fourth set of 13, and it's on the topic is healing into eternal life. So there's a new set of 13 mind shifters. And I've started to work on next month's already. And where this month is healing into eternal life, next month it's going to be healing death. So each month we're going to add another section, another 17 or 13 mind shifters to the set of tools that we're using mind shifters for. So that's kind of cool. Been having fun doing that. So, if you got the space, would you like to join us on at 10 o'clock tomorrow? Are you there, Michelle?
Oh, my apologies, I was muted. So, I would love to. I appreciate the invitation, and I want to do it. I have people scheduled 9, 10, 11, 12, and 1. So I'd have to change five people's schedule. So that's like in the same period. That's why I'm like, if it was Sunday,
right.
I'm in.
Okay.
We'll plan maybe another time I've done some other energy work online, and there is no time and space. And the effectiveness is as if you're in the same room, and I've always experienced, I mean, you see me drive 1,000 miles to come for a breath session. I'm thinking about Virginia, and I'm thinking about North Carolina, because there is, I mean, I can do it by myself all the time, and I have, but there is a different level of synergy when you're doing it with a group that's so superior. I really, I'm kind of disappointed that I can't, I mean, I feel like my integrity is committed to them, and we do it in the morning because people like to come to the therapy and then get on with their day.
Right. So, well, maybe hold the second Saturday of next month, the second Saturday,
right.
10 a.m. and
home.
Yeah. And then the Wednesday night. But if you'd like from the new list, you know, it's section four. So the numbers are from 1 to 13. What pops into your mind as a number from 1 to 13 will give you a mind shifter from the list.
Okay, from section four, huh? Oh, I thought 12 came
this
up really quick.
12, okay. So 12 is, and you're the second one in the workshop that's working on this one, honoring truth.
Got it.
Get your pen there. And being able to see and forgive. Honoring truth and being able to see and forgive my errors opens me to eternal life. Honoring truth and being able to see and forgive my errors opens me to eternal life. If there's anybody that's out there that would like a mind shifter from this list, pick a number from 1 to 13, push 1, and tell us what your number is, and we'll give you the mind shifter. This is a brand new set that we've added to the package.
Oftentimes, I know it's a good mind shifter. when, you know, mm-hmm. I've done these all over the years, and oftentimes I notice this pattern. It's a good mind shifter when I don't understand it at first. Like, wait, I'm not sure being able to see and forgive my errors opens me to eternal life. Really? Like, what? What is, okay. And instead of, like, okay, there's the signal. This is a good one.
Perfect. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Yeah, I think that is cool. It's about time, because I've been assigning them to other folks a lot lately. It's just, you know, sometimes it's like an ebb and flow. And a lot of the ladies that I have right now, this like current batch of caseload, I guess you could say, is really like popping. And I'm going to do
nice.
This so that I can tell them, yeah, my teacher gave me one. And yeah, this is what I am working on. So. It's nice to be
cool.
In the trenches.
And so if there's anybody out there in listener land, if you'd like a mind shifter, pick a number from 1 to 13. Push 1, say hello, tell us what your number is, and we'll give you a mind shifter to work with. It's a fun tool. It's a powerful tool when you realize that the mind works by resonance, and that if you get the right frequency, that is the right mind shifter, then things pop and open and move in ways that would otherwise could not be imagined. You know, for me, that this tool is just one of the most profound, in that I don't care what you're hiding from or how deeply, you know, it's been buried in the unconscious. If you set the right frequency up that resonates enough, it's going to pop to the surface. You know, it's like it just goes right to the core.
No, I'm thinking about this one client who from, she brought something. She said she's only shared it. Well, actually, she's never shared it. Now I correct myself.
Uh-huh.
I would say her husband knows, but I don't think he does. From something that happened when she was 16. And when we finally, you know, kind of identify the goal, it was around being able to see herself as love. And so then I found a mind shifter to kind of fit that theme. And she showed me her paper. She wrote about 7 pages, and she held the paper pad up to the video cam. And she goes, "Look here where my writing changed." And it just almost went to this scribble thing. And during that time, she had put her Alexa onto a station that had songs without words. Like, she wanted some background noise to sort of make it peaceful in the room. And then she was doing the mind shifter. And she's showing me this part where it was like, you know, far into it, and she's pretty deep. And then the writing changed. And she said at the same time, the music on the Alexa changed, and there was a song there, and they were singing words that were about being loved. And she was telling me there was like electricity there, and there was this sort of out-of-body, surreal moment, kind of, it almost sounded like a near-death experience, because she was describing
near-life experience.
When they are out of their body for a minute, and they're in
right.
this pure, peaceful, blissful state, and everything is being shown to you, and you remember consciously thinking, I never want this to end, and then she started listening to the words in the song, and the words in the song were talking about your love and being love. And it was really magical. Like, because that shouldn't have been happening on this radio station that was supposed to be a non-word radio, you know, channel. And so the mind shifter, what she was accessing, like, you know, it was metaphysical. There was way more happening, like, in that moment. And we were both so excited. So she knew that it was like, she like pierced the veil, basically.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when we realize the whole universe is here to support us, you know, it's here to support us. And anything can move in and bring that support when we're inviting it and in a space of willingness for it. And, of course, what does the world teach us to be willing to receive but drama and trauma and self-deprecation and all the crazy stuff that has gone on for generations in our culture, and people have just been asleep in it, you know, just lost in it. It's time for suffering to end on planet Earth. You know, does that mean that there won't ever be an accident again? No, there'll be accidents, but the people who would come to the accident will come with hearts and minds connected to love and the wisdom to know how to best support this person. Does it mean people aren't going to die? No, it doesn't mean people aren't going to die. But when someone dies, instead of being in drama and trauma and pain, people are going to stand as a space of love and realize that if pain comes up for them, it's their pain that can be forgiven, and they can simply be the space of love for this person who's dying or has just died. I mean, it's just so, you know, the whole game is going to change so deeply. I was talking to a neighbor a couple of days ago, and he'd gone down to see his mom and dad, who were elderly, and he was telling me that his dad's had Alzheimer's for 10 years, and, you know, it was just kind of like, you know, he's a shell of a man. And I started to talk about, you know, permission, you know, for him to go and such. And, you know, this is a guy who's a manager of a large company here in Bristol, Virginia. And he just broke down in tears. And he said, I can't talk about this anymore, and walked away. It's like, but well, come back and breathe. You can unload that. It's inside of you. You don't have to carry it around with you. But, you know, until people are ready to hear it, until people have got the eyes to see and the ears to hear. I had a fun time yesterday at 11:11 being 11:11, you know, Armistice Day. I did a presentation for a Spanish group, and I said, I'm not sure, have you met Nene?
Yes, I know her.
In one of the intensives, yeah. So Nene, you know, she's been teaching the work in Spanish. She's been doing some work in South America and such. So she translated as I presented, and it was really cool. And actually, I haven't posted that on my Facebook page yet, but I went back. I had done a thing for this Spanish group last year, was an interview style thing last year, and I was just, you know, wowed by how much information we got into a 1 hour conversation. So I'll send you a link to that too, and I sent you the new Mindshifter list too.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah. So do we have anybody out there in listener land that wants a mind shifter? Or anybody that has a thought, question, answer, idea for us? If you're out there, we'd love to hear your voice. You know, maybe there's a thought disorder, a demon that you want to get rid of, you'd like support with, or you want a mind shifter for. You know, death is a demon. You know, I mean, you go back into the ancient teachings, they were really clear. With man, death began. We made that whole process up, and it's not required. You know, my background in physics, you know, here's what we know about the universe. It's eternal. Energy. It's all energy. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. If it can neither be created nor destroyed, it must be eternal. If we exist, we must be energy. If we are energy, we must be eternal. Why don't we live for eternity? Because we have thought disorders based in death, demons, things that need to be forgiven. And so let's go for it. And, you know, I mean, each and every person on the planet right now, and there might be an exception too, I don't know of any, has death already programmed into their genes. And I know that because everybody that I know of, every person in their bloodline over 120 is already dead. And so it's right there, it's in us. And when we're willing and create the invitation for that stuff to start to move and acquire and practice and utilize the tools for doing it, we can eradicate those patterns. And, you know, it's like, what else is there to do? Now, there's some people who say, well, Michael, that's just really silly. You know, that's crazy talk. Well, Okay, let's dissect it. It might be crazy talk, or seem to be, but if it's true, going with it and doing it will give you eternal life. If it's not true, then going with it and doing the work will make your life happier. What have you lost? You know, like, what? And when you really realize how profound it is, what else is there to do but to do your work? And then it comes. Yeah, that's it. So we've got about 9 minutes or so left.
I know. People are listening, and there's an opportunity here. I'm going to challenge it. I'm going to do this weekend. I'd like to have some company.
Yeah, cool. And or, you know, we've got space. It's a small group, so if anybody wants to join us for the workshop, it includes the video from our video catalog of introduction, Mind Shifters and Introduction to Still Point Breathing. It includes an intensive video on Mind Shifters, and it also includes a radio show where we had a whole conversation about why Mind Shifters. So the topic's really covered thoroughly, and we invite people to take it, work, and write their Mind Shifters before we start the actual Still Point Breathing workshop on Saturday morning, tomorrow morning. And then, as I say, I'm expecting with the small group we've got that will be finished maybe by 1 o'clock or so, 2 o'clock maybe. And then on Wednesday, we'll pick up at 7 o'clock to another Zoom session. And the workshop includes both of those videos as well. So, you know, it's a powerful process, powerful interaction and community. And you can join that, just do one session if you'd like, or we've got it set up so you can do a package of 3 sessions, or you can do the whole year. And, you know, each one save a little more money. So. And create support for us moving the tools to the next level on the planet. Actually, I got a note from Julie today, Julie Haverstick. She's out at Heartland, and she's actually hired a local person to come in and help to kind of spruce up the property and get it into shape. And so she had sent a note saying, you know, if anybody was, you know, getting toward the end of the year, needs to get rid of some money, needs to donate to something, then you might want to just jump on the website, whyagain.org, and there's a donate button there, and support this next project that's happening at Heartland. It's kind of a spruce up, clean up, you know, which we've had the center closed for the last 2 summers. And with the way COVID's going, I don't know what we're going to do with it next year, but we're holding the space for things to shift on a global scale in that regard. And our calling number, if you're on one of those stations, you know, if you're listening from a station where we're syndicated and we can't see you, therefore you can't directly ask us a question, if you just dial your phone, dial in at 563-999-3581. You'll be listening to the show. And then if you have a question for us, all you do is push 1. And through the magic of technology, a hand will go up. Michelle down in Mexico. I mean, I love this technology. Like, here I am in Bristol, Virginia. You're in Mexico. And who knows where people are listening around the globe. And we all get to have this conversation. And a few minutes after it's over, people can go and download it for free from our website. I mean, how cool is that? That we get to do this and, you know, move it throughout the globe. And, you know, and once it's in the archives, it's eternally available. You know, we've got well over 3,000 hours of radio shows where we've had some very profound conversations. So if you want to tap into those. By the way, if you happen to listen to a show that doesn't have any notes on it, if you make a note of the date and then just send us, you know, a paragraph or two, what you learned from it or what was important about it or what topics it covered, that makes our database searchable so people can, you know, look into topics by specific dates. So if you happen to do a show that doesn't have a description, if you wouldn't mind writing one and sending to us, it would be appreciated. That way we can expand the service of the database just a little further. I feel really blessed that we've had this workshop going on for over 10 years now. It's pretty cool. We're actually coming up to the 11th year in January. So,
well,
so I'm shocked that nobody even wants a mind shifter. Come on, what, you're out there 5 minutes. We've just got a few minutes for a conversation. Other than that, anything on your else on your mind? Anything else you'd like to inject into the conversation, Michelle? Muted, Michelle?
Yeah, you know, you were saying earlier about that when you did the two codependency workshops back to back, that you,
right,
you were going to a deeper level. That resonates with me in the sense that the work is always kind of coming at you, and you might plateau for a little bit, but then there's an opportunity, and then you dig deeper, and you plateau, and you dig deeper, and so
yeah.
I feel like, you know, more recently I've been doing a next level of digging deeper, and so as part of when the opportunity came for my schedule to be free, like, okay, you know what, I need to recommit to getting back on the radio show, and let's get ready to do a deeper level of work. I just noticed that I'm, like yesterday, almost over probably, let me see, at 13 clients, maybe 8 of them, we just did worksheets. And what's really cool is I can do a share screen with people and then bring up the worksheet so they see it. They have their worksheet that they're writing on, but then I can
right.
read along or clarify, use my cursor in a way to like help them, like, no, see this part over here or see over here where it says
stay
this.
Focused.
And it just feels more effective than you're in a therapy office because they're sitting on one side of the room and you're on the other side of the room. And so it's actually it's way better.
Well, that's some of the feedback that we've gotten about intensives. Doing the intensive online, several people said, well, you know, when I'm at Heartland, I love it. I have to take time off work. It costs me more money. And I'm sitting in a room and I'm looking at you at the front teaching, and I'm not seeing other people's faces. But here on Zoom, you know, we've got 25 people in this workshop, and I'm looking at 25 faces continuously as we're teaching, as we're processing, as we're asking questions. So people felt like it was much more intimate and more profound, and that they were at home doing it, so they were actually, rather than going off somewhere and having to bring the tools back home, they were actually in the practice of it in their lives. And the fact that each intensive, one was 14 weeks, the other was 17 weeks, that they were able to bring their questions back, you know, live, use the tools. So it was kind of an upgrade in a sense. And we do actually have a package now, a self-study package with both of those intensives on video. There's 90 hours of teaching and process work and questions and answers. We've got the whole of two full videos, or two full intensives available, and the raw food support program from Facebook. So it's pretty cool to have that available digitally now, to make it more globally available and spread it around. And beyond that, if anybody wants to join us for the workshop tomorrow, drop Jeanie an email, Janie at whyagain.org. And other than that, Michelle, thank you for being available. And gracias, mucho gracias, and have the best day of your eternal life.
Adios.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeanie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org That's www.whyagain.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.